Good evening. Welcome to worship on this eve of Epiphany 3, the season of light, as God continues to manifest and show his glory in us and through us as hope and life and salvation for the world. Good to have you here. I know it's starting to snow a little bit out there. Thank you for shoveling for us. Very kind of you. We appreciate that. So be careful driving home tonight. Make sure that you don't slip your way home, but just drive careful and know that another day of winter has come our way, and pretty soon it'll be spring, right? A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, tonight then we'll be having our covenant renewal service. It's about discipleship and how we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ as children of the light. A few other announcements. Next week, following worship, we'll have our annual meeting. And the annual reports have been distributed, but there's still some copies back there. And there's a couple of typos. So what we'll do is we'll just have one little thing, a correction page type of a thing that we'll pass out next week so that everybody will know. By then, we'll have a couple of additional members as well. So you'll know what our current membership size is and the covenant names, etc. Otherwise, I think the other announcements are in your bulletin. I would encourage you to please take note of those. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we are marked with the cross of Christ forever. We are praising, proclaiming, and practicing Emmanuel, God with us, in daily life. We rise as we are able for our entrance song, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Word of God, come down.
Word of God, come down on earth. Living
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have provided for your people the gift of Holy Scripture, through which your salvation in Jesus Christ is made known. Grant that we may study, learn, meditate upon your word each day, and that we may live according to your will, following the way of the incarnate word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is his most holy name in whom we pray.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 12. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, and that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor, again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our most presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise as we are able for our gospel verse. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And Jesus began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him, and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we've heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there are many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." And when they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. Our appointed psalm for tonight is Psalm 19. It's a psalm composed, written, sung, prayed by King David. And David in Psalm 19 begins with these words, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." That is David's prayer as he enters into worship with Almighty God, that he might have a clean heart, a right spirit, that his words, that his thoughts, that his will would be centered in the word of Almighty God. My hometown pastor, Pastor Eugene Weckander, was the one that kind of raised me in the faith along with my mom and dad at First Lutheran Church in New Richmond, Wisconsin. And Pastor Eugene Weckander, all those years that I knew him, began every one of his sermons with these words of David from Psalm 19. "Lord, this is my prayer," David says, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart might be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We have expectations, don't we? We come to worship even when there's snow outside, and even when it's chilly, and we know that we will gather, that we will pray, that we will assemble, and we will sing, and I bet you, you've come to expect a sermon. Right? I mean, whether you get one or not might be a whole other question, but we come to expect that when we come to worship and assemble, that the word will be proclaimed, publicly read, and that there will, in fact, be a sermon, a proclamation, a delivering, if you will, of the goods. What if you and I are the only Bible some people ever read? What if you and I are the only homily of God, God's sermon you are, that some people ever hear? And if faith comes by the hearing of God's word, and what is heard comes from the preaching of Christ, Romans 10, if we know that those who confess with their lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in their hearts that God raised them from the dead will be saved, Romans 10, well, then it makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? As far as what is preached and what is proclaimed in your words, in your deeds, and in the life that I live as well. So when you walk home tonight or drive home tonight, and in the next few days ahead, I want you to be mindful that you are the Bible that some people are reading, and that you are the sermon that some people are seeing and hearing. So what is it that people are seeing and hearing when we speak the holy words of God? When we come to our gospel reading for tonight, this is Jesus' first sermon. I was trying to remember what my first sermon was. I don't recall exactly because I was raised in the faith in DeRidge, Wisconsin. I was baptized when I was only 13 days old. And then I was just always there in church, learning, serving, growing. I was so blessed. But I do know that somewhere along the line, like in high school, that we had some youth services. I do know that when I was in college and in seminary, that there were occasions when I got to preach in my home congregation. Well, this is what happens with Jesus. Remember what happens in the Gospel of Luke. You've got the infancy narratives, chapters 1, 2, and 3. You've got the genealogy, the family tree that goes all the way back to Adam. And then we're told that Jesus is baptized. And you start hearing about this Holy Spirit throughout the opening chapters of Luke's Gospel, that Jesus is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus, when he's baptized, the Holy Spirit descends as a dove and remains on him, and the voice of the Father speaks and says, "You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." And then Jesus is immediately, when he's baptized, into this public mission of God, this public ministry, he is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness where he's tempted for 40 days. And then right preceding our gospel for tonight, in Luke chapter 4, we hear these words. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And Jesus taught in their synagogue, being glorified by all." The Holy Spirit is embedded in every word and page in the proclamation of Luke's gospel. So it doesn't surprise us, we who have come to expect, as is our custom, worship, assembling to hear God's word, that that's what happens in Nazareth. Jesus goes to the hometown that he's been raised in, where he knows the people, where the people know him, or at least think they know him. And Jesus, as is his custom, goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath so that the Torah, the scriptures, can be read. They wouldn't have been in a book. They would have been on a scroll. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah is handed to Jesus. He's the hometown boy, but he's also this itinerant preacher, this rabbi, kind of like the guest preacher for the day, or at least the guest scripture reader. And he goes to the place in the scroll, perhaps, probably, the assigned text that day, because they read the Torah and the prophets chronologically. I mean, they're reading it throughout the movement of Torah. And he gets to these words from Isaiah 62. The text that he reads includes these words. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus says, reading from Isaiah 62. "Because he has anointed me," you know, pouring that oil over someone, setting them apart, consecrating them for holy work. "He has anointed me to preach good news." In other words, to give a sermon, to be a sermon, a living text of God's almighty word. "To preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, liberation to those who are oppressed, to set the captive free, to proclaim Jubilee, the year of our Lord's favor." Now the expectations are high, because the scroll is returned, and then, as was the custom, the preacher didn't stand up to preach, but instead sat down and delivered the word. And you notice that Jesus' sermon, at least as it's recorded by St. Luke, is not very long. The eyes of all of the synagogue are fixed upon Jesus. They're chomping at the bit. What's he going to say about this messianic text from Isaiah 62? When's the day of the Lord's favor going to come our way? And you heard what Jesus says. "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today, in your hearing. Faith comes from the hearing of God's word. Today, this scripture is fulfilled. Well, the people are initially impressed, amazed, but then the wheels start moving. This is Joseph's son, right? I mean, we watched him grow up, right? And now he's telling us that he's Messiah? That the day of the Lord has arrived and he is it? Oh, wait a minute. And Jesus knows their thoughts and their speech because he addresses it and he says, "No doubt you think I'm a lunatic. You think I'm crazy. You probably want me to quote a proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.'" Not going to happen. I'm not crazy. I'm speaking the truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. A prophet, Jesus says, is not without honor except among those to whom he knows, the hometown folk. "No doubt you want me to do all these signs and miracles that I've been doing throughout Galilee. You want me to do them here. You want me to prove what I'm saying. It's not going to happen. Jubilee happens, salvation happens, when the word of God is proclaimed. And if you don't want to believe it, well, then your hearts will be hardened. And you won't know the gift of faith. But when the word is proclaimed, faith abounds." So what time is it? Well, it's sermon time. I mean, that's what we expect. And maybe you've even got it down to the minute. You know, there are some people that say, well, a sermon is supposed to only be so long. I've been to some places where the sermon is an hour, some places where the sermon was 8 minutes. Maybe we want it to be short, sweet, simple. Maybe we want some meat and potatoes. We probably have different expectations. I'm reminded of a college student who a number of years ago, by the name of Bill, was attending a university, and this would have been in the 60s, so this dates me, but you're talking about someone who wore kind of a tattered, ragged t-shirt and blue jeans and didn't wear shoes. Went around barefoot. But he was bright, intelligent. He was a student at the university, and across the street was a community church. And the community church people, for the most part, pretty well-to-do financially, dressed well, they wanted to figure out a way to relate to these college students. But they couldn't quite figure out how to make it work. Well, as divine providence would have it, one Sunday morning, Bill decided that he was going to go to church across the street. He'd never been in there before, but why not give it a try? So he wore his predictable attire. He had his tattered t-shirt, he had his blue jeans, he was barefoot. He didn't know what time the service was, he just simply walked in because there was lots of cars and people that had come. He didn't know that the service was already in process and that the pastor had already just started his sermon. And in comes Bill in this nice, prim, and proper congregation. And he's looking for a seat. And this is before the days of COVID, my friends, so the place was packed. He kept making his way down toward the front, further down the front. He's looking, and little by little, people are trying to listen to the sermon that the preacher's given in the pulpit. The pulpit's looking out, the pastor's looking out from the pulpit. He sees what's going on here, and he can tell that the people are getting distracted, and this guy can't find a place. So he gets to the very front, and he just sits down on the floor right by the pulpit. And so the pastor just kind of stopped in mid-sentence in his sermon. And then you could kind of hear the murmurings of the people as they were saying, someone ought to do something about this. And pretty soon someone does. 82-year-old, silver gray hair. He was a deacon in the church. He had to walk with a cane. But he starts to make his way up to this young man. And everyone knows that this young man's going to get a piece of his mind. That he's going to tell him that there are certain things we do and certain things we don't do when we come to worship, when we go to church. Like we wear shoes and we try to dress in our best rather than our worst. And so he gets there up to the front. And the pastor is just waving, and then when he gets right by this guy, he just kind of wiggles his way down to the floor. And he sits there because he wants to make sure that this university student doesn't think that he's alone or doesn't experience the gift of welcome. The pastor, he said, what I'm preaching on today, you probably won't remember. But what you've seen today, you'll probably never forget. We might be the only Bible some people read. We may be the only sermon some people ever hear preached. And so the question becomes, what is it in word and deed that we're proclaiming? Jesus keeps it pretty simple. He says it's today, right here, right now, today. Today in the Gospel of Luke is so important. The angels came to shepherds on Christmas Eve. And they said, we have good news of great joy for you and all people. For today is born in the city of Bethlehem a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Today for you. And then in Luke 4, Jesus says, today, Isaiah 62 is fulfilled in your hearing. Jubilee has arrived. Every 50 years, according to the law, debts were to be canceled, property was to be returned in a fair, equitable, distributive manner, so that there wouldn't be the haves and the have-nots, so that all people would be cared for. Jesus says Jubilee has arrived today. You know Luke chapter 19, that little story about the wee little man named Zacchaeus, who's up on a tree because he wants to see Jesus, and Jesus says, get down here, because today I'm staying at your house. Today I'm having lunch at your table. And then at the table, Zacchaeus, who has repented of the wrongs he's done as a cheating tax collector, Zacchaeus receives the good news. Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house because you're a child of Abraham. You're someone for whom the promise is spoken and given. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is preaching about today. And when Jesus dies on the cross on Good Friday, there's a thief on the right and the left side of Jesus. And one of those thieves repents. And do you remember what Jesus says to him? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today. That's what happens when our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. When the body and blood of Christ is fed to us in the sacrament of Holy Communion, today, right here, right now, in the hearing of God's word, the oppressed, the captive, they're delivered, they're released, they're set free. The eyes of the blind are open, and it's an epiphany. Now, the people that were listening to Jesus and his sermon that day, it's interesting to see what Jesus does. I hope you heard it when I read the gospel tonight. But Jesus says, you remember, don't you, that Jubilee is not what you think it is. You think that it's consolation for you and judgment for them. You think that Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor, is going to be you get it, the goods, and they get the bad stuff. A day of wrath for them. A day of glory for you. You've missed the boat. Jubilee is for all the nations. God loves the whole world, so he sends his son into the world, so that this gift of grace, the gospel, the good news can go out to all the poor who are in poverty because of sin and death and the devil. He uses the example of Elijah. Lots of widows in Israel, but Elijah is sent up to Sidon, the place of Jezebel, that wicked queen. And God appoints the widow of Zarephath to provide food and drink to Elijah during the 3.5-year drought. And Elisha, lots of other people in Israel that had leprosy, but who was it? It was a slave girl. An Israelite slave girl that was living in captivity, and she told her master, she said, Haman, it's too bad you're not in Israel, because there's a prophet by the name of Elisha, and if you were there, he could heal you just like that. And so he travels to Israel with his entourage. He comes to the house of Elisha, and Elisha won't even come out and speak to him. He just sends, well, somebody to be a go-between. And the servant goes out there and says, Elisha says, just go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and you'll be healed of your leprosy. Well, you know what he does. He goes off sulking because he figured that he would have to pay a large sum, or that Elisha would at least come out and visit with someone who was so important as he was. But he doesn't do that for Naaman, and as Naaman is starting to head back home, it's his servant who says to him, what have you got to lose? I mean, if he had made it really difficult and it would have cost you lots of money, you would have done it. What have you got to lose? Go wash in that dirty Jordan River 7 times. And he does. And he's healed. He comes to saving faith that day in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the triune God, who is our Lord and our Savior. All because someone was a sermon, because someone spoke the word, because God's homily was delivered. You maybe know the name Clarence Jordan, Koinonia Farm in Georgia. He wrote the Cotton Patch version of the Gospels. In the early 50s, Clarence Jordan started a peanut farm in Georgia, and he believed that he could operate that farm on the principles of Jesus, where you treat the land and the people that work the land with respect and with dignity, and where people, regardless of the color of their skin, could live together and love one another. This is the early 50s. Well, during the summer of the early 50s, there was a student at Florida State University. He was from India. He was studying agriculture. And so he wanted to go and see what Clarence Jordan on the Koinonia farm was doing. And then when he's there, he finds out that Clarence Jordan is a Christian, a practicing Christian. And he discovers that Clarence Jordan is going to go to church. And so this man from India, who isn't a Christian, who's never been to a Christian service of worship, says, "Could I go with you?" And Clarence said, "By all means, yes." Takes him to church. And in that hot summer day, it even got more steamy in there with the folks in that church kind of glaring and glancing at Clarence Jordan and his guest, his visitor. That afternoon, the pastor came and said, "Clarence, we had a little bit of a problem this morning in church. Evidently, some of the people got uncomfortable. We can't have that happening, Clarence. You need to be careful about who it is that you're bringing to church, you know." Well, that afternoon, 4 elders from the church also came to pay Clarence Jordan a visit. They said, "We can't have this anymore. We're not on the same page as you are, Clarence. You can't be bringing all these people to church with you. They're not like us." And so Clarence Jordan looked at them and he said, "Then I need to apologize if I have sinned, if I have done something wrong in bringing this stranger to church. I need to apologize. Will you show me? Will you show me?" He takes the Bible and puts it on the table in front of them. He says, "Will you show me where I have sinned and where I have wronged? Please show me." And one of the elders grabs the Bible and throws it down on the table and says, "We don't want you giving us any of that Bible stuff." And Clarence Jordan looked at them and said, "I didn't plan on giving you any of that Bible stuff. I want you to please give it to me. Where have I wronged? Where have I sinned in bringing someone to God's house so that they could hear his holy word?" Well, the following week, Clarence Jordan got a letter from that church saying that he was no longer welcome to worship there, that he needed to find another church home. Sermons. Our Lord's first sermon, proclaiming Jubilee, proclaiming that today is the day. Because today, you've been preaching a sermon. And tomorrow, you'll be preaching another sermon. And the question is, what will you speak in your words and your deeds that will bring glory to Jesus and good news to the poor, to the lost, to the one who has sinned and needs forgiveness? Dear friends in Christ, I still remember Pastor Eugene Weckhander beginning his sermon every Sunday with Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite the congregation to rise as they're able, as we sing together, God of Grace and God of Glory. I invite you to continue with me now in our membership covenant renewal ceremony. God's chosen people entered the promised land and participated in a covenant renewal ceremony. Joshua assembled God's people and reminded them of God's eternal faithfulness and providential care for his people. Joshua commanded God's people to choose whom they will serve, the false gods of this world or the Lord God Almighty. Joshua ended his exhortation with these familiar words, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
The people responded with one voice, We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. His voice we will obey.
Tonight we remember God's grace and faithfulness to us, and we renew our pledge to him. God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved servants of Emmanuel, you've made public profession of your faith, sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. You intend to continue in the covenant that God made with you in baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear his word and share in his suffer, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Do you intend to practice the marks of discipleship and to grow up into the full maturity of Christ?
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Congregation, may be seated for our prayers.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, thank you for your word, given to us as Holy Scripture, the sure foundation for life as your beloved community. Thank you for your word made flesh in your Son, Jesus Christ. Conform our lives to his. Send us with your word to all who are blinded by distractions, deafened by voices of pleasure and power, lamed by suffering, imprisoned by sin, and impoverished in body, mind, or spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Make your church a place where your word is faithfully proclaimed, eagerly heard, and gladly heeded. Grant that we who are anointed may preach good news to the poor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We are your puzzled pieces. Build up the body of Christ in this congregation. Help us to accept, develop, and share the gifts you have given each of us. Teach us to encourage and rejoice in the gifts of others, whether those gifts seem small or great. Let all be done to glorify you, to build up your body, and to share your mercy with those around us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your Son bestowed healing, sight, freedom, and good news to all who are in bondage to the powers of sin, evil, and death. We lift before you the needs of all who need his strong, saving love.
Gracious Father, we pray for comfort for those who have lost loved ones in recent days and weeks. We pray for Cindy and her family. We pray for the family of Brian Belter, especially his wife Becky, his daughter Erin, and son Adam. We pray, Lord, that you would be with the family and friends of Elaine Jacobson, especially Leroy and Margaret Kwong. We pray for comfort, Lord, for all those who grieve, that they might know the healing balm of Gilead. Lord, we pray for your mercy, for your healing, for those who are battling COVID. So many people now battling COVID, Lord, we pray for their healing. We pray, Lord, for Gary and Julie Engel, Tom and Sherry Vomhoff, Pam Hammond. We pray for Barb Stephenson, Deb Vomhoff, Sheldon Bieri. And Lord, we also pray your mercies upon New Life Family Services here in Rochester and on the Sanctity of Human Life Month as people gather, O Lord, to thank you that you have in fact consecrated us from the womb and that you have declared us to be sacred.
Visit them with your salvation, heal their bodies and revive their hearts, and let them rejoice in you and the gift of Jubilee. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for receiving into your kingdom those who died trusting in your word. Keep us close to Jesus, speak your word of life, and let us feed on it. Fill us with your spirit and help us share it. Knit us into Christ's body and make us rejoice in it. Keep us faithful unto death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, we thank you for the ministry opportunities that await this congregation in 2022. We thank you for the servants of Emmanuel, members and visitors and guests, all who commit themselves to the walk of discipleship. Grant that all baptized believers may praise, proclaim, and practice your saving presence in daily life. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
I invite you to rise as you are able for our benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our sending song, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Before I give you the dismissal, two things that I want to mention to you. Our council president, my sister Barb, she is presently at the hospital. She's getting some oxygen and also some fluids, so please keep her in your prayers. And then also, if you haven't heard, then Elaine Jacobson's funeral will be a week from today. I don't know the time next Saturday, but it will be at Dale Lutheran Church between Kenyon and Wanamingo. That's sometime next Saturday. Receive the dismissal. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.